Psalm chapter 90, Psalm, or the 90th Psalm. The verse is 12, I want to just quickly analyze with you, and then talk about some passages in the New Testament that talk about our talk, walking in wisdom and speaking with salt, and so forth. Notice Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. If Moses is the author of this particular psalm, which most seem to attribute, Moses, a man himself, is asking God to help him and the nation learn to number their days. Numbering their days, to consider again perhaps the calendar days, the life that we live, the potential opportunities that we have or will have. And the reason there is that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. In Colossians chapter, did I say 5? I said 4, didn't I? There's no five chapters, there's only four. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Notice here, the New Testament says, Paul writing to the Colossians, to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Then verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. When you think about the without there in verse 5, who are those that we are walking toward that are without? It has to be the people that are without God. In 1 Corinthians 5, 12 and 13, Paul writes and says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Talking to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5, 12. Do not ye judge them that are within. There's a sense of responsibility, moral obligation we have to those that are within. We have judgment responsibilities towards us that are within. But on those that are without, he says in verse 13, but them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That was a wicked person within their own midst. Without has reference to those that are without the church, outside the fellowship of the church of Christ, the Lord's church, the only church. Those that are in the world, we need to walk in wisdom toward. Again, as Psalm 90:12 says, to number our days, to be able to again account and consider the cost of opportunity. Because after all, as Christians, we're trying to seek and to save that which is lost of which and who we were, right? So I think about that from this standpoint. Who is it that had a profound influence upon you in your life when you were without? I can remember two individuals that were so profound in my life that would come by and see me when I was without, not in the church, not saved. And one of them, his name was Eugene Sofford, an elderly man, an older man, a man that had never married, a gospel preacher, though. I didn't know him. But he would come see me at my workplace, and he would hand me a Bible passage written on a little piece of paper from the Proverbs or something. I always remember one in particular about a merry heart doeth well. It's in the Proverbs. I don't remember the Proverbs. Yeah, it's in there, and I've got it somewhere because he noticed my disposition. He knew I was lost. He knew I was outside of Christ, and he knew I needed to be saved. And here's an old man that would be dead within a year, by the way. Well, long story short, I went and visited this man because I was curious about Eugene, and I went and sat in his room inside his sister's house where he lived, simple room, and he hands me a songbook, and an older man on his deathbed basically says, how would you like to sing a psalm with me? And it made me, I was like, well, yeah, sure. This was a man that was walking in wisdom toward them that are without. And I cannot tell you how profound that had the effect on my heart to sit there and sing a song with that old man in his bedroom, and he would be dead within a year. And I've often thought about Eugene Salford and the effect he had upon a man now that was a boy then that needed to be saved. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Are you looking at those individuals around you, and are you walking in wisdom? Notice this idea here, redeeming the time. Considering the time. That means that you consider very analytically the value of time. You ever thought about that? How valuable time is. It's a blessing from God. But how we manage time in our lives is something else. That expresses really the wisdom that we have or we don't have. Who is a waster of time? Are you a waster of time? If children had no guidance at all, what would children do if they were left to themselves and their own devices without any advice or any guidance from parents? I've done that. I've experienced with that. I can assure you the dishes don't get cleaned, the beds don't get made, the laundry won't be done, not much of anything. And then I start looking at my dogs and I realize, you know what, my dogs do the same thing. They just lay around and they don't ever sweep up, they don't blow off the dust, you know, and my kids are like dogs. Yes, I said that. But you know, the difference is the children are easily trained. The dogs aren't so easily trained on these things. I've never seen a dog pick up a blower and figure out how to blow, you know, do his job. But anyway, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Think about that and how important it is to redeem the time. Guys, even young people, you need to realize how valuable time is. And your time is precious, and you don't have as much as you think you have. You'll get to almost 50 years of age, and you'll start to realize how much time is fleeting. And if you haven't, then boy, how do you need to grow up quick? Because it's going to happen. And then look at what he says there in verse 6, and I'll have to quit here quick. Let your speech be always with grace. That's goodness. That's favor. That's a kindness. That's a thankfulness. The word grace is a very kind and generous word. It's a word that symbolizes, again, great peace. The tone is easy to be attained to. The Bible uses language like tinkling cymbals in 1 Corinthians 13 as something that is effective on the ear and affects the ear harshly. And Paul says, I don't want to be like a tinkling cymbal. You ever listen to a tinkling? Someone sit there and after a while, you're like, man, you got to knock that off. Well, again, let your speech be always with grace. That takes effort. Takes desire, and I want to be able to communicate. Here, preaching and teaching, I have tried to, every time I stand here, to try to effectively get right into your heart. It matters how I talk to you. It shows how much I care. It also shows how much I don't care, too. Let your speech always be with grace. Then notice, seasoned with salt. Well, salt is an interesting way of putting it by inspiration. You know, have you ever eaten bland food that doesn't have much salt? Do you remember that? How about eating a piece of salty meat, though? A piece of beef jerky? Has a lot of umami flavor in it. Your brain connects with that. Your brain tends to connect with those umami flavors, and you remember that. Why do most people like homegrown tomatoes and talk about them? Because there's a natural umaminess in there that the brain connects with. That's typical now. Your brain may be different, but that means you're different, not the rest of us. Think about it. Your speech always seasoned with salt. When you walk away from someone, what have they heard? Do they remember you? Do they remember you? I remember that Brian Braswell. He said something to me I'll never forget. Was your speech seasoned with, was it graceful? You know, it's important here, and we need to think about that. And then it says there that you may know how I ought to answer every man. Now, finally, and this is final, look at Matthew 12. I want you to see how important words are. I don't have time to go through the whole text here, but Matthew 12, Jesus heals a dumb or blind man in verse 22 with a demon. And he does a miracle here. And the Jews, the Pharisees, accused him of casting out demons with the prince of the demons, or Beelzebub, verse 24, and they're making mean accusations. Now look at their words. Their words are mean. They're not seasoned with salt and not with grace either. They're mean words. They're outrageous words. And Jesus says, a house divided against itself shall not stand. Satan can't cast out Satan. That's ridiculous, verse 26. And he's talking about words. Now drop down to verse 34 and 35. Generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak words, good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. You want to know who a man is? Let him talk. You'll find out real quick a man's motives, his interests. Let him talk. Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Verse 35, a good man out of the abundance or the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So your words, they matter. To live an orderly life, that was the theme of tonight's lesson. The passage I was told to study with you with was Colossians 4, 4 and 5. To have speech, words that are graceful, seasoned with salt, redeeming the time. That requires order and desire and discipline to do right and to live right and to have a thing set in order and ready to go. Because your days are numbered. And so as Moses said in Psalm 90:12, our days are numbered. You know the day you'll die? But do you know that you will die? That may be the better question. The reality, you will die one day. I hope you know that. Your mortality is a real, real issue. So number your days. You don't know when, but God knows when, so that we can walk in wisdom and we can help save souls, because time is precious. Redeem the time. Live an orderly life. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want you to understand the most important, the most critical, the number one decision you'll ever make is to decide to follow Jesus, to repent of your sins, because you know that He is the Son of the living God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came in the flesh, He died on a cross, shed His blood for you and me. He's the only one that could do this. How do I know that? Because He resurrected 3 days later from a grave. And He walked before mankind, His own disciples, and proved that. And a person who would confess Him then before men, Jesus says, I'll confess Him before my Father which is in heaven. For where I am, there you may also be, He says in John 14. And you can come to me because I'm coming back. And so a person would then be willing to be immersed in water, baptized for the remission of their sins. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So the person that doesn't believe that, well, obviously they wouldn't obey that. But the person that believes that and would not obey that, now that doesn't make any sense. But surely you're not that person. And if you're here tonight and we can help you, and the invitation song is for you, as together as we stand and we sing, won't you come?